Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Enjoy a tall, cool dude.
What is this? What are we doing? What in God's name are we doing? Look, our lives. What kind of lives are these? We're like children. We're not men.
No, we're not. We're not men.
It's the Nightcap.
Are we going to be sitting here when we're 60 like two idiots?
We should be having dinner with our sons when we're 60.
We're pathetic. You know that?
Yeah, like I don't know that I'm pathetic.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
So then you asked yourselves, isn't there something more to life?
Yes.
Yeah, well, let me clue you in on something.
There isn't.
Welcome into the week. Some Sabres stuff today, eh? Phil Kessel, Royal Blue, Navy Blue, 50th anniversary patch. Bills are at OTAs, NBA playoffs tonight. It's a busy night. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi here on WGR. Full show tonight for the next 2 hours. Bandits, too. I should mention the Bandits. Because I'm not a big lacrosse guy, but they lost their... they're in the championship series, and they play... I'm looking for stuff to go to right now. This is about the time of year where I'm looking to go to some creative sporting events. I'm going out for the Champions League final on Saturday. Gonna have fun doing that. Would have liked to go to the Bandits game on Saturday. I couldn't do that. I'm hoping they win in Calgary just so I can go to an event like that next Friday. That'd be cool. I'm thinking about going to maybe a Raptors playoff game. Some good opportunities around here right now for some sporting events that you can attend that you don't always get the opportunity to go to. So I'm thinking about that. And the Sabres are on my mind. I woke up this morning and I find out that on the morning show they're talking about Phil Kessel. And he's number one on the TSN trade bait list. And that's got me thinking about a lot about the Sabres and what their lineup could look like. We'll get into that a lot in a little bit here on the Nightcap. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Better way tonight, at Sneaky Joe WGR on Twitter or on the text line, 550-550. So, Royal Blue. If you didn't see it, the Sabres unveiled their 50th anniversary patch. 50th season, 1970 to 2020. This is the 50th season. The Vancouver Canucks did the same thing. They came out with their own patch, and it's their 50th season. Obviously, the two came in together. And the Canucks are like, they're kind of, it seems like they're listening to their fans from what I've seen. They changed their jerseys to a lighter blue. I was reading a story about that today, about their 50th jersey and what their plans are for the celebration. And it was mentioned in there, hey, a few years back, obviously, they changed to this color blue, to this jersey, because fans wanted it. And the Vancouver Canucks did that. That was a while ago now. I mean, they went to the Stanley Cup Finals back in 2011, and they were already in that color. So that's long time ago they did that. Fast forward 9 years, and here's the Sabres, still with the navy blue, after they changed their jerseys to the old logo. At least, like, we wanted that, right? We wanted the old logo. They got rid of the slug. They got rid of that terrible logo, and they gave us that. And it was navy blue, and it was cool. It was cool. I'm sure it would have been more popular to go all the way back, just do a throwback jersey, just, you know, be you. Be the jersey that you came into the league with and was largely unchanged for the first 30 years of your existence. And fans want it. Twitter is not the end-all, be-all, but I think it's a pretty good measure of what your fans want, because a lot of Sabre fans are on Twitter, and it's almost everybody. It's loud, and maybe it is a loud minority, and that there is a silent majority out there that really likes this navy blue, but I don't know. It's not just a Sabre problem. It's also an NHL problem, but they cannot get uniforms right at all, and this league is supposed to be about entertainment, and it's supposed to be what the fans want, isn't it, to some extent? You don't always have to listen to what the fans want to do on the ice. I get that. You don't have to trade for a guy because your fans want to do it. You don't have to start a certain goalie because your fans want to do it. You don't have to make lineup decisions, trade decisions, free agent decisions, coach decisions. That can be affected by what your fans want. You don't have to make decisions based on what your fans want in those areas. But when it comes down to stuff that doesn't affect the on-ice product, when it's about looks and it's about, you know, what you think could sell and what people would buy, why wouldn't you listen to your fans? And between the Sabres and the NHL, 41 nights a year, a season ticket holder will walk into that building and they will see dark navy blue against white every night. Every night. And that's become the norm in the league. And I'm watching the NBA playoffs, and they're fun. And they've got Golden State wearing their bright blue with the yellow trim, and they're playing against the Portland Trail Blazers, who are in red with black trim. Someone's not wearing white. Yeah, because no one's going to confuse the blue team for the red team. You don't have to have a white jersey. And I don't know what the NHL's reasoning is behind this, if it's for history. And now I'm talking about wearing white at home. If it's for history, I don't know. But it sounds like a lot of the reasonings don't make a lot of sense, and it doesn't have the fans in mind. I hear history thrown in my face a lot when hearing about like why they don't do it. And I don't know, soccer, I'm becoming a big soccer fan now, huge Liverpool fan, and those clubs in the English Premier League have more history than any team in the NHL save the Montreal Canadiens. They have more history. Those teams have been playing since the 1800s. And guess what? They change their jerseys every single year. They change the colors on their away jerseys every single year. Liverpool last year, who, if you know anything about soccer, you would recognize them from their red, all red jerseys with the white lettering. That's Liverpool. And guess what their away jersey was this year? Purple and orange. They had a neon one a couple years ago. It was gray on the top and neon green underneath. Why? Because it's fun. It's exciting. It changes things up. You don't have to go full on. I'm not asking the Sabres to come out with a neon green jersey, but don't get so stale on us with the jerseys and the logos. And it just seems like fans are not being listened to. And that's not, like I said, not just by the Sabres, but by the NHL. Because the NHL, you know what? They need to do some work themselves. They need to loosen their grip on some of these rules. Apparently, the Sabres might not actually be able to change their jerseys if they wanted to this season. Because you have to, or you can't make it three, you can't make a jersey change within 3 years of making one before. And there was some changes made in 2017, so they can't make one now. Well, why? Why is that rule put in place? Who does that serve? The fans? Because they don't want it. They'd like to see changes. The league? The sellers? That doesn't make sense. More jerseys, new jerseys equals more money. More people buying the new jerseys. So I don't really get who's benefiting from some of these jersey rules. It should be something that we don't ever have to talk about, but the NHL, sometimes it seems like they need to be told what is actually fun because they can't come up with it on their own. So I'm very disappointed to see what that patch was today, and I think I am, like a lot of fans, hoping that they were going to go back to the original blue, the royal blue. And like, it's a stupid little thing, but it's not really that little. Because it's just a blatant ignorance of what your fans want. And that should count for something. And it's not like the on-ice product is making up for some of the decisions like that. So I was so disappointed to see what that was. I've been hoping for years that this was going to be the year that they went back to their classic jerseys. And I'm hoping the third jersey is something along those lines, but it's hard to have any hope that they're going to pull that off right now. So how about on the ice? The team on the ice. Phil Kessel came up today on the station. He's the talks of a lot. Like, he's the number one name today in trade talks around the league. Because TSN had him number one in their trade bait list. There's reports out of Pittsburgh that there are some big sweeping changes coming. They've got Malkin and Crosby now in their early 30s. Their time is running out. The Blackhawks' time ran out. The Kings' time ran out. The Penguins are next. And having two superstar players like that in their early 30s can only get you so far. It's not like Patrick Kane's taken a hit in his play over the past couple years. Taze has taken a hit, but he's still a very good player. But does it matter? Because Chicago's been bad. LA, similar situation. Doughty, Kopitar, they've still been really good players in the past couple years. But they got to their early 30s, they had big cap hits, and you just can't maintain it. So those two teams hit rock bottom, or they hit the bottom, they're not rock bottom. And Pittsburgh is on the verge of getting there too, and it seems like they're trying to go for one last hurrah before those two really get outside their primes. And Phil Kessel seems like he's going to be the victim. I'm wondering what the Sabres' interest might be in a player like that, in an idea like that. Because his contract is actually not that bad. $6.8 million for three more years. He's 32 years old. I could swallow that. If Phil Kessel was going to be a free agent this upcoming season, and you told me I could get him for 3 years, $6.8 million per year, I couldn't sign on the dotted line fast enough. You'd have to give up something for him. I get that. I was thinking about maybe a possible Ristolainen trade. We've talked a lot about Ristolainen and whether he is a, you know, valuable trade chip. Tampa's come up a lot. Is he valuable enough if I throw in something else to get Braden Point? That's a thought I've always had. Is he, how much value does he have in the league? And I'd have to think that Pittsburgh would, like, I don't think much more than Ristolainen could get me Phil Kessel. Because at the end of the day, yeah, there's a huge gap, I think, in impact on your team. Kessel is a point-a-game player over the past couple years. 82 points this year, 92 points the year before, 70 points the year before. The guy's putting up stats. And amazing, excuse me, that when Bulldog said that stat on Kessel earlier today on the station, the guy, even though he doesn't look like he's in good shape, keep doing you, Phil Kessel, because you haven't missed a game in 9 years. And that's incredible. Really is. And he still finds a way to produce. So I like that idea. I'm not a huge fan of the player, but I'm feeling a little reckless with the Sabres. And I don't even think it's that reckless. But it's time for some winning. Clearly, we're not going to get a lot of the stuff we want off the ice from the team. So I'd like to see like some immediate success right now. And if that means making a couple of decisions that really aren't that smart in the long run, if it means a much better team right now, I'm really creeping towards that line of thinking. I've already mentioned Sergei Bobrovsky on my show a couple times, which is probably a terrible idea. But how terrible could an idea be if it likely means playoff contention at the least if you do it? Like, if you really want to talk about, like, next year, and I know they're not going to go all in for next year. Dahlin's going to be going to be 19 years old. Eichel's going to be 23 years old. Their window for winning should be pretty wide open for a long time here. But if you did want to go all in for next year, if, like, you were really dead set on making the playoffs, what's your best course of action? Your best course of action would be to acquire a Phil Kessel and sign a Matt Duchene. And I think that is the type of offseason I would like to see from Jason Botterill. Don't go full in. I'm not really advocating they sign Sergei Bobrovsky. I don't want them to do that. That would be going all in, though. But start getting there. Start making some decisions that are win now. Don't keep playing the patient game. Don't have free agencies like they had the past couple years. Like, what was last year? Scott Wedgwood, There was just nothing. A couple years ago, it was Benoit Pouliot. Like, there's not been a name they've signed in the past couple years that has inspired a lot of hope in any fan. And that's kind of come to fruition on the ice. Because the waiting game on some of these young prospects hasn't worked. There hasn't been that pipeline of guys coming through Rochester or through juniors that has supplied this supporting role positions on the team that you need. Behind Eichel, behind Reinhardt, behind Dahlin. So you got to fill it. And remember when Terry Pegula got here in 2011? It wasn't just, hey, the team's going to be here forever. It was, all right, now we're spending. No one's going to outspend us anymore. We're going to get the top players. And they really only took one big swing at it. Like, since Pegula's been here 8 years ago, they've only taken one big swing. That one offseason, Leno, Ehrhoff, Regeer, and Ehrhoff was actually not that bad. The other two, like, they didn't, that offseason did not work out at all. But that was really their only big swing they took. They signed up Poso, sure, but that was like the only move they really made that offseason. Where's the big swing? Where's the offseason where you bring in two, three, even four, that sounds a little unlikely, but a couple of bona fide star players that can start to earn you some respect from circles outside of Buffalo? And I'm ready for them to have that type of offseason, and that might start with a guy like Phil Kessel. Even though he's 32, he's still playing at a high level, and my first thought on him, actually, when I heard his name was, yeah, he's had 82 points, and he had 92 points, but I don't know. He's playing with Crosby and Malkin. That would inflate his stats a bit. Then I come back around to, well, look at the season Jeff Skinner just had. Jeff Skinner's stats were probably a little inflated last year. Why? Because he played with Jack Eichel all season. And maybe that could, you could have the similar effect on Phil Kessel. Maybe he wouldn't take that big a hit in production if he came here, because he would still be playing with a really, really good centerman, assuming he'd be playing with Eichel, which I guess I can't assume that. But I'm ready for them to go. I'm ready for them to take a big swing between free agency and trading, because I think we're all sick of losing, and I want something to be excited for next season for. And we're clearly not getting it with the jerseys. We're not getting it with a change in what their colors are going to be. So it's going to have to come on the ice. And I don't know how confident I am that that's going to happen, but that's what we're left with. Because the patch came out today for their 50th anniversary, and it was navy blue. Dark navy blue. Which, when you watch it on TV, it almost looks black. Depressing times. Some bad seasons. Fans not getting what they want. At least a large portion of them. I still can't speak to what every fan wants, but if you go by Twitter, which should be at least a good segment of the fan base, it's a pretty overwhelming majority on there that nobody wants the navy blue. They want royal. It's not happening. 803-0550 is the phone number. Ralph Kruger was hired last week, an idea I loved. Miroslav Shatan, former Sabre. He was on with the Instigators earlier today. We'll play back some of that when we come back. Get a little more insight on Kruger. If you don't know the connection there, Shatan, who is now the GM of Team Slovakia in the World Championships and just the Slovakian Ice Hockey Federation, he was also the GM of Team Europe at the World Cup, the team that Ralph Kruger coached. He hired Ralph Kruger to coach that team. So Shatan will give us a little bit of insight when we come back with the Instigators after this break. It's the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase here on WGR.
That's what happens. And Jason, you know, even though he hasn't been a general manager for long, he's been around management for a long, long time. And every year, guys learn. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in the office of general manager's role in National Hockey League. Times change.
Darren Dreger on with the Instigators on Friday. Talking about Jason Botterill. We'll put off Miroslav Shatan for a little bit here. We got time. Phil Kessel on the docket. Jerseys, too, if you want to get in on that. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe DiBiase here on the Nightcap. Let's go right out to the phone lines. Start the segment. We'll go with Ron first up. Ron, you're on the Nightcap. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. I'm 100% we should go back with the coattail, royal blue, whatever you want to call it, covered with the Sabres.
Yep.
I go back as far as when the Braves played. And they wore the same colors as the Sabres at one time.
Okay. Wasn't that more of a baby blue, or am I not knowing that right?
Oh, the Columbia royal blue.
Okay. Nope, yep, you're right. I'm looking at it now. I mean, those are nice. Like, that's the color that you want. I mean, you would watch that on TV, even back then, I'm sure, and you would see that it's blue. And that's the problem I have with the jerseys now. If you just look quickly at the screen watching the Sabres, it looks black on TV.
Don't like them. Never did.
Yeah.
Because remember last year they came out, that was it, a year before, the third jersey with the white, was for the, was it for the ice?
Oh, yes, for the Winter Classic.
That was a beautiful jersey.
Love that one. I think I wanted that actually as their away jersey or for something. And then actually last year, I know you weren't meaning to bring this up, but when you said that jersey from 2 years ago, it made me think of last year when they did that skills competition.
Yeah.
And they had, I didn't really like the design of them that much, but they were okay. And it was the royal blue or the bright blue with a yellow stripe across the middle underneath the logo. They're, like, those were even cool.
Those were sharp.
Yeah.
But like I said, the Steelers are the only team, Pittsburgh are the only team that has all the same colors, all their sports, black and gold.
Yep.
You got the Pirates, you got the Steelers, you got, you know, they all seem, it would be nice if
Penguins
could do something. Because that's, like I said, the Braves, and the, I think the Bills even wore the royal blue jersey back in them days.
Where, oh, yeah, well, they had the royal blue with the white and the red trim, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I wish to say, now, is it for sure they can't go back next year with the, is this the patch that they're going
to play the colors? Ron, thanks for the call, man. I think the rule is that you can't make a significant change every 3 years. And I don't know what they mean by what they did in 2017. I know they changed the collar when they switched to Adidas, but and they took some of the silver out, which I know needed to happen. But if that counts as like a significant jersey change, NHL needs to change their rules. I'm not so confident the Sabres would have made the decision anyway, but if that's true that they were barred from switching colors this year, then this league needs to get it together. Like, they're the no fun league. I know that doesn't stand for NHL. I'm sure I could have came up with a better, more clever name than that. But they're becoming the no fun league, even though it's NHL, not NFL. Phil Kessel too on the platter here. If you want to talk about that, 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's go to Nick. Nick, you're on the Nightcap. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call. First off, I don't mind Kessel playing on our team, but why not spend the money on, like, Panarin, who's a bigger body than even Skinner and a lot more suited for the team I think we should have?
I completely agree with you that he would be the guy that I would want. He would be number one on my list. I'd sign him over Jeff Skinner. A lot of what, and I guess you can't know. So this is what I'd want. I want the Sabres to get in a room with him and see if they could get him. I'm not too confident they'd be able to do it though, because a lot of the reporting on him is that he's either going back to Chicago or he wants to go to like a big city. So, I mean, if he doesn't like it in Columbus because it's not a big city, like, I don't know if you're going to be able to intrigue him enough to get there, but I'm glad you brought his name up because he is going to be a free agent and he is the best of them. 87 points last year. The guy is a stud. Watching him in the playoffs was so fun. He always has the puck. He's always super clever and creative. He's got a nice shot. Like, he is one of the most dynamic offensive players in the league. He's not much of a two-way guy, and he's a winger, so I wouldn't want to give him, like, an Eichel contract. But if there's any chance the Sabres could even think they could get him, then they should go all in for it. But I just don't think it's realistic they could do it. So, that's the other thing. Kessel is realistic. Because you're trading for him. And he's not in the middle of his prime. He's on the back nine. He's probably on hole 15, actually. He's getting there. So, that's why his name has come up. Because you can control getting him. And that sounds a lot. Even Duchesne is more realistic because there's been a connection between the Sabres and interest in him. Plus, that fills a bigger need. Like, center. Second line center. If the Sabres were going to overpay for one of those two, it just would make more sense to me that they would do it for Duchesne. So that's why I guess we're not really talking too much about Panarin. It just doesn't seem that likely. Let's go to Jonathan and Alden. Jonathan, what's up, man? You're on the Nightcap.
Hey, Joe. I can understand why you want Kessel and you want the Sabres to win now, but if Kessel was an unrestricted free agent and the Sabres could get him for $6.8 million he's making right now, I would do it in a heartbeat. However, I am a little bit hesitant in trading because I don't want to burn any more assets. I don't want to because of Kessel. I think I'll take Kessel the right situation, but leadership and character are things the Sabres need right now, and I don't think Kessel brings that at all. Do you think trading Ristolainen would help? Or
I mean, if you're getting a Kessel back, here's the thing. I get where you're coming from, but Jeff Skinner had questions about leadership and character when he left Carolina. Ryan O'Reilly had questions about character and leadership when the Sabres shipped him out. And guess what? Skinner scored 40 goals, and O'Reilly is a win away from going to the Stanley Cup. And to me, it is not out of the realm of possibility that that man is holding up the Conn Smythe by the end of the season. I don't think he'd be the favorite to do it if the Blues win the Cup, but he'd be in it. He could. If he has a really good Stanley Cup final, if he even makes it there, Ryan O'Reilly's going to be the Conn Smythe winner. So, how much am I supposed to worry about character and locker room and how good a leader he is? I don't need a leader. I need a guy who can put the puck in the back of the net. We've tried leadership. They signed David Legwand, or they were fine with him on the team, and they talked about his importance because he was a former second overall pick, and he was going to help groom Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart. Well, how much impact did that really have? How much did it really have? Zero. And there have been lots of moves like that. I don't need leadership. I need talent. I need a guy who can pass the puck 9 times out of 10 on the tape. I need defensemen that can turn their hips quick enough to stay with forwards in this league. And none of that has happened. They've tried the leadership route. They've tried to sign Brian Gionta and Josh Georges. Whatever you want to say about them, those two guys were some of the best leaders you're going to find in the NHL. But what happened when they were two of your top players? You were the worst team in NHL history, almost. If you take out expansion teams, they were the worst team in NHL history. So, I'm sick of hearing about how good a leader a guy is. Because if you win and you're good, then nobody cares about it. If Phil Kessel's such a bad leader and such a bad character guy, how have the Penguins won 2 Stanley Cups with him? I don't want him to be my best player. I don't want him to be the face of my franchise. There's a difference there. But you bring him here, he doesn't have to be the face of your franchise. This dream scenario I put together. So I went on Cap Friendly. I used their armchair GM tool. Love using it. And put together, like, what roster could they reasonably put together that would instill the most hope in people for next season? Like, what would that look like without being too outlandish, like signing Panarin and Bobrovsky and stuff like that? I had them signing Duchesne at $8.5 million. I had them signing Skinner at $8.5 million. It's tough to gauge where those numbers would come in. That's a little bit of an overpayment for Duchesne. It's actually a little bit of an overpayment for Skinner, too. But the way things have gone here, you might have to overpay those guys a little bit. I'm thinking about Skinner right now as a free agent. I'm already thinking about him in terms of, like, he's already a free agent. And how does Buffalo get big name free agents? They overpay a little bit. So I'm expecting, or I'm hoping it doesn't happen, but I'm reasonably expecting that they're going to have to overpay for Skinner a little bit. Same with Duchesne if they were to get him. So I have both of them on this roster. I put together $8.5 million. Kessel, I was looking to see, like, what would Pittsburgh want? And forward seems to be, like, something they'd want, like, a young forward. But the Sabres don't really have that to offer. And it's not like Pittsburgh's set on D at all. Like, they will absolutely, I think, look for a good defenseman if they want one for Kessel. So, just for sake of conversation here, I traded Ristolainen and Alex Nylander to Pittsburgh for Phil Kessel in this mock lineup here. So, the lineup I have in front of me now, it's funny, on paper, I think we'd all go into next year thinking, all right, this team can make the playoffs. It's go time. Let's get excited. This lineup would get people excited for opening night. First line, Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, Jeff Skinner. Second line, Matt Duchesne, Phil Kessel, and I put Victor Olofsson in there. That's, I think, wishful thinking, but he looked like he could do it at the end of the year. So Duchesne, Kessel, and Olofsson is your second line. Middlestat, Sherry, Thompson is your third line. And then Ruotsalainen, the guy from Finland that you just signed, Okposo. And then I needed a center, so I just threw Brian Boyle in there on a $2 million contract. Because they don't really have much at center in the organization that come up, unless Rasmus Asplund's ready to do it. But I'm not really sure I want to bank on that. So I just threw Brian Boyle in there. That forward group, and Ristolainen's gone on DB, so got Dahlin and Montour. Pilot and Bogosian, McCabe and Nelson, Scandella is your seventh. Same with the same goaltenders. You still got $3 million in cap space with all of that happening. That lineup would get people excited. Are they going to be able to pull that off? That's probably wishful thinking. That's a lot of stuff they'd have to do. You'd have to get Pittsburgh to even, you know, bite on Ristolainen as the main trade piece going back for Kessel, which I think could be reasonable, though. Kessel's 32. Ristolainen's 25. I mean, you're talking about a seven-year age difference between the two guys. And they'd be saving a little bit of cap space if they wanted to do something else. I could see it happening. Ristolainen, I'm not a huge fan of his, and I know there are a lot of people, and on our station included, that don't see a lot of value in him. And I can get that point of it. Like, I'm in the middle on him. I think he can be a second pair defenseman on a good team. I don't want him ever playing my top pair minutes. I don't want him. I think he's proven at this point in his career he cannot be a guy that is effective while playing against the other team's top lines. But a second pair guy, protected with a really good defense pair, like, maybe you could bring out some of his good skills, because he has some. Like, he's offensive. He is a guy that is capable of scoring that goal he scored against the Sharks, where he goes toe drag between the legs, undresses Brent Burns, a guy that's won a Norris Trophy, and scores. He has that ability. He has a ton of faults, too. And I'm not, like I said, I've said it before. This is the only type of scenario where I like trading Ristolainen, because I, in large part, think that his role that he's had for his entire career has kind of designed the narrative that surrounds him. It's Tyler Myers all over again. And what happened when Tyler Myers got to Winnipeg? And suddenly Dustin Byfuglien was ahead of him. And Jacob Trouba was ahead of him. And Toby Enstrom was ahead of him. And he was like a, you know, second tier, second pair guy. Second power play minutes, second penalty kill, not playing against the other team's top line. What happened? You know what? Tyler Myers has been a good, solid defenseman for Winnipeg for a few years now. And would we be disappointed if he was here doing that? I'm sure to an extent. After that rookie year, we thought he probably was going to be a Norris Trophy winner. It was definitely talked about. The next Chara. And I think there's a similar thing going on with Ristolainen right now. So that's why, in my mind, the only way I want to see him traded is for, if you can make him the main piece in a Kessel trade, do it. Or a Nugent Hopkins trade, do it. Those type of players. Don't trade him for what you traded O'Reilly for. Don't do that again. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll take a timeout here. A little bit on the NBA playoffs when we come back. So Andre Iguodala out for the Golden State Warriors tonight. The Warriors are on the verge of sweeping Portland. They don't have Kevin Durant in the lineup. Former MVP. Two-time finals MVP. I think two times. Two times final MVP. He's out. Arguably the best player in the league. DeMarcus Cousins, all-star forward, all-star center. Some have argued over the past few years he's the best center in basketball. I don't think you could say that now because of the injuries he's incurred. But all-star level player, he's out. Andre Iguodala, guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's 35, but he's still really good. Covering Damian Lillard, one of the league's premier point guards, in their last game, or two games ago, gets the strip that seals the game in a huge comeback win. That was game two, actually, so that was a couple games ago. He's out, too. And they're still about to sweep the Portland Trailblazers. The Warriors are incredible. We'll talk a little bit more about that and what's been going on in the NBA playoffs, because it's been super exciting, and they are blowing away the NHL playoffs this year. Blowing away. I'll expand on that a little more when we come back. It's the Nightcap with Jody Biasi here on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap. Jody Biasi here on WGR. So, some news in the NFL. Buccaneers defensive tackle Gerald McCoy has been cut by the Buccaneers. Expected. That's been out there. They've been trying to trade him for months now. We've talked about him on the station a bunch. Former third overall pick. Like, a really good player, but was not worth that cap hit. And I think teams are starting to find out around the league that star defensive tackles, like, there's a point, like, Aaron Donald's worth the money he gets, but you really don't, you shouldn't have to invest a whole lot of money in that position. There's a reason Ndamukong Suh is out there right now. He had a good season with the Rams, and there's a reason Gerald McCoy got cut by the Buccaneers when he's still a good player too. I am thinking similarly about Star Lotulelei. The guy is the highest paid player in the team. I think he's good at what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to be a run plugger. Help their run defense. And he's good at it. But that is not at all the type of role that I want to be investing more money into than any other position. And they've already got a lot of other good guys there. We're hoping Ed Oliver is going to be a star. We are hopeful, I think, at least that Harrison Phillips will give us something productive. Jury's still out on that. He didn't do much in his rookie year. And then you've got Jordan Phillips, who played really well last year while he was here. You can get by, I think, cutting Lotulelei. And I like McCoy as an idea, too. You wouldn't just sign him, but if you wanted to cut Lotulelei and try to sign McCoy to a cheap deal, like, that is something I would be all about if I'm the Bills right now. Looking up the dead cap figures, if you did cut Lotulelei, and I'm not sure they'll do it because he's their guy. Like, a lot of guys that they've bought out or cut, I should say, and or traded, Darius, they didn't pick up the fifth-year option on Watkins before they traded him. Like, a lot of the dead cap they've ate on players has been Whaley guys, Rex Ryan guys. And they really haven't done that with one of their own yet. So I would be interested to see if they would do that. But I would want them to do that with Lotulelei. I am not a fan. I think that is an old school, an old style of defensive tackle that just does not hold up as much in the NFL anymore. Just a zero threat to rush the passer. There is a play I'm thinking back to. Remember the play against the Jets? The Jets here, where Sam Darnold is scrambling all around in the backfield. It ends up being a touchdown. But Darnold is running back and forth. He drops back. He scrambles to his right. He looks. Can't find anybody. He loops back around to the left. I think Jerry Hughes gets his clock cleaned on this play. Like, blindside hit. No, maybe it was Kyle Williams. Somebody got blindside hit and destroyed. And there's Lotulelei, and I'm watching him throughout this video. Like, the bird's eye view from behind, so you can see the whole field. Like, the all-22 look. And this guy, man, I mean, I know he does his job, but when that's a pass play, he's a zero threat. His pursuit of Darnold, who's not the most athletic quarterback in the league, is embarrassing. That guy should not be on the field. Unless it's a clear run situation. He is a liability out there when the other team drops back to pass. And he's your highest paid player. So I'd like to see them try to do a new style there with defensive tackle. They were doing it to some extent with Ed Oliver. I like both Phillips.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Jordan a little more, and I'd like to see if you can bring in a McCoy on a cheap deal. But anyways, the dead cap on Lotulelei, if you cut him right now, $18.5 million for 2019. That sounds like a big number. It is a big number. But they didn't spend all their money in free agency. I know they did a lot, but they've got like $27 million left over, and I don't think they're using that on anybody, are they? Like, what's left that they're going to be using on for this year that's going to cost big money? I don't see that happening. So what's the difference? Cut them now, eat the 18.5 dead cap this year, and then you're good. There's nothing after that. They have to cut him before June 1st if they were to get that. Now, if they waited until after June 1st, which I'm sure if McCoy coming here as a part of this decision, that might take past June 1st. So if that were to happen and they release Lotulelei after June 1st, you'd have about an $11 million cap hit this year and then an $8 million cap hit next year, which is about what it's a little lower than what he'd be getting anyway. So I'd like to see them do it before June 1st. And then if you wait till next year, like, that contract kind of stinks. If you wait till next year, it's not that bad by any means. But you are talking about you know, an $8 million cap hit next year, too, if you cut him. And then if you wait next year, you're talking about dead cap going into 2021. And just even saying the word the year 2021 sounds way too out in the future. I don't expect him to be here that long, and I would like to see them just get out of it as quick as possible. And you can do it now. You can afford to do it now, so just do it. That's my opinion on it. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll switch back to hockey. Little NBA when we come back as well in hour number two. It's the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase here on WGR.
It's the Nightcap.
Listen, never turn. If you do that, they'll call you Myrtle. Let's go. Let's go. He could dangle. He could score. Who else? Bobby Orr. Let's go. Let's go. Who's the best? I often ponder. Right now, it's CV Wonder. Let's go. Let's go. What a pup. Oh, how she loves the Stanley Cup. Hockey man is what I am. Let's go! Listen, listen to what I say. Play that game the Canadian way. Hockey man. Oh. Let's go!
It's the Nightcap on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sure, Don Cherry's happy. Bruins beat the bunch of jerks and the front-running fans in Carolina. I'm glad that series ended as quick as it did. I mean, I haven't been watching as nearly as much of the NHL playoffs as I normally do. Part of that's been how good the NBA playoffs have been. Blowing it away. Just so good. Raptors-Bucks has been great. Bucks-Celtics was kind of a drag. But Raptors-Sixers was awesome. Even Warriors-Clippers was good for a little bit. Warriors-Rockets was good. All the Durant stuff. My Nuggets had a couple of fun series, two game sevens. They've been exciting. And the NHL playoffs, it's just been replay stuff and bad calls and the Sharks getting lucky and then yelling at everybody for calling them lucky. And former Sabres doing well. Robin Leonard sweeping the Penguins. Ryan O'Reilly about to go to the Cup. Evander Kane's in the Western Conference Finals. And it's just like, oh, we had these guys, but everyone wanted them gone. And here you go. They're good. See? Maybe they weren't the whole problem. That's the other thing. I don't want to get too far into this because I want to get to Miroslav Chetan in a second here. But everybody with sports teams, and this isn't just Buffalo fans, everybody, is so quick to blame the players at the top of the lineup when things aren't going well. Because they're the leaders, and they're the ones setting the culture, and they're not pulling their weight. When really, like, when guys are performing, look at the bottom of the rosters. I never thought for a second that Ryan O'Reilly was a problem on this team. He was taking all your defensive zone faceoffs. He was playing number one power play. By the way, he was playing number one power play on the opposite side of Jack Eichel, which they really didn't find a replacement for until the very end of this past season when Victor Olofsson got called up. So, like, that's kind of a minor part of what his role was with the team, and you had no replacement for it. And he was a great second-line center. He put up stats. Evander Kane, same thing. Like, a lot of people wanted him gone because he's kind of a jerk. But when he goes out in the ice, he's scoring 30 goals. And how many guys do you have on this team that can do that? I needed to add Skinner, but I needed to add Skinner with Ryan O'Reilly and Evander Kane's already here. Like, I needed an addition to what I had. And their forward group, like, it hasn't been great. It's been average. But that hasn't been the biggest reason for their downfall these past couple years. Like, Tim Murray didn't get fired because they didn't score goals. I mean, they didn't score with, like, the top teams in the league, but they weren't an embarrassment in that department. They were an embarrassment on the blue line. Awful. Same thing with the last couple years. Like, their forward group has never been their biggest issue. Their blue line has been putrid, and they haven't fixed it. And they keep making changes up front. And now they have to make more changes up front because they got rid of their depth. Or they got rid of the depth that they could have had right now. You could have had Evander Kane as a secondary scorer. You could have had Mittelstadt down as a third liner instead of a second liner. And O'Reilly would have been here, putting up 60 points still. But no. And then you would have had Skinner on top of it. Just, I don't know. I felt like they could have been better last year if there were a couple moves they hadn't made. All right. Let's get something positive, which in my mind is the coach. I'm very excited about the Ralph Krueger hire. I'm very excited to see what that looks like. It's different. I'm excited to hear him because we've had some dry coaches, to say the least, a little bit recently. And he's an interesting guy. Miroslav Šatan, former Sabre, GM of Team Slovakia. He used to be the GM of Team Europe at the World Cup of Hockey, and he hired Ralph Krueger as their head coach at the World Cup of Hockey in 2016, so he has worked with him on the inside before, so a little bit of insight from the former Sabre here with the Instigators earlier today on WGR.
No, Riv messed everything up. It's Andrew and Peter today. It's Andrew and Peter, and I cannot wait to see what my cell phone bill is going to be calling Bratislava right now to talk to our next guest, Miroslav Šatan. Miro, what's going on?
Hey, not much. How are you guys? I'm just in the middle of the World Championship, so it's a quite busy time for me right now.
I know. Are we totally inconveniencing you right now?
No, not at all. We were all okay, you know, set up, so I'm ready to go.
Well, I just wanted you to know that if we were, we don't care. We just appreciate that you're willing to come on. Hey, I was telling the story the other day before we get into Ralph Krueger and some time here that you have with the Sabres and what you're up to now. About, do you remember when Lindy threw the garbage can and like all the garbage went all like kind of in front of your stall and everything?
Okay, remind me, please.
Oh, never mind. It was after a game. Lindy got mad, threw the garbage can against the wall in front of the room, and all the garbage went all over the place. I didn't know if maybe you remembered that or if that was just a scarring moment from my career.
I don't think that would be something unusual. So I just remind me what's so special about it.
It's just that it ended up in front of your stall, Miro. I think that was all that it was. Anyway, don't expect Ralph Krueger to be throwing any garbage cans. Is that kind of not his way of coaching?
Well, I don't think so. I think Ralph is a guy who is very interesting and, you know, obviously he's been in a kind of like in a both worlds of hockey, in European hockey for a long time, coaching Swiss team. And then a little bit he's got experience also with some NHL hockey with Edmonton, although he was short. I believe this you know, second chapter of his NHL coaching will be much longer.
Now, what was the appeal to you with Ralph Krueger when hiring him for the World Cup?
I think knowing the both worlds, you know, we had a very special setup with eight different countries, basically all European countries that have players in NHL. We had to combine them together and make them one team, you know, in basically, you know, a few days and play against the best, you know, players from Canada, US, Sweden, Russia, and all these countries that obviously were united under their national flag. And we had basically eight national flags, and we had players that somehow playing against each other in NHL, all of a sudden they have to be on the same team and, you know, kind of play for the same goal together. When on the international level, they always were competitors. On NHL, they were always competitors, and now they had to play together. So I don't think that was easy task, and it took us a while. But, you know, on the end, they really became the team, and we basically made it to the finals, you know, losing, you know, very, you know, classy game against Canada.
Hey, Merrill, this is Craig Rive here. You know, with you being in the NHL for so long, played over 1,000 games in this league, you played for multiple teams, which means that you had multiple coaches. I was in the same position. I had played for 9 different coaches in the NHL. All have different styles. Obviously, you know, bringing in Ralph Krueger, you know, what can you tell us what style that he's going to bring to the Buffalo Sabres?
I think, I don't know if you guys already got to the info that Ralph is also, you know, doing some, he was doing some leadership seminars, and I think he wrote a book about leadership in business. So he, you know, he's really, his mind is not, you know, closed only to hockey. He, you know, he obviously works in a different areas in business environment. He worked in soccer environment for a while. He was president of Southampton Premiership Club in English soccer. So, you know, he's got experience from different levels. And, you know, besides, I think, knowing hockey, he knows how players' mind work and how people in general work and how to unite them and make them play for the same goal. So this is, I think, big plus for Ralph. And, you know, hopefully he can show that and be the leader in Buffalo for quite some time.
Right now we're talking with Miro Shatan, all the way from the World Championships of Hockey, where he is the head of Slovakian hockey over there, and he was the general manager of Team Europe for the 2016 World Cup of Hockey. And the coach of that team was Ralph Kruger, who was just recently hired by the Buffalo Sabres. So we're getting some insight on that. Now, one of the things that we heard about Ralph Kruger, Miro, was that he was just such a positive guy, and body language and things like that were important to him from the standpoint of, you know, the kind of mood you're going to set for your team and things like that. And is that something that you noticed? I mean, because now, granted, he was dealing with an abundance of star talent. So, you know, I mean, I guess you have to kind of handle, you know, these guys in different ways.
Yes, we had the team full of good players, good stars and, you know, leaders on their team. They had to play on one team and kind of, you know, split the ice time, split the roles. And, you know, Ralph is really good at picking up on little details and, you know, noticing maybe stuff that not everybody noticed. And, you know, he's able to, you know, really coach the mind, not only hockey, and coach the mind and then the whole group. So we really saw that, you know, during the World Cup, you know, every little detail was important to him, not only on the ice, but also in preparation of the ice. And I remember spending 3 days with coaches in summer when we had our coaching staff kind of getting ready for the World Cup. And he got together with his assistants, and we spent like 3 days talking about hockey, and you know, my brain was just burning from all the details they wanted to discuss ahead. You know, there was like maybe 2 months before the World Cup, and they wanted to discuss everything in detail. And you know, it was just 3 full days of talking about hockey, just getting prepared. So I was really amazed by those 3 days, and you know, how much details and how much, you know, goes into his preparation.
So I just get the impression that he's going to be a coach that's really going to be thinking outside the box. Obviously a very intelligent man. And you look at the National Hockey League, every team plays the same system. They pretty much have the same power play. They all kill the same way. Do you think that we're going to get some changes in thinking outside the box with Ralph Kruger?
I don't know if fans will see it from outside, but I think, you know, players will know this inside the dressing room. And, you know, I don't know what he's going to do with the team. I just, you know, like I said, I saw what he did in very short time with our team in the World Cup. And I remember thinking that, you know, after we were done with finals, that Ralph will definitely get NHL offers, and he will be coaching in NHL soon. It took maybe, you know, a few years, two years, but I don't know if he was available or he wanted to stay in soccer for a while. But, you know, now I'm really looking forward to, you know, to his time in Buffalo and how he's going to handle everything and how it's going to go, because, you know, obviously I'll be cheering for him.
Miro Shatan on the line with us, former Buffalo Sabre, over 1,050 NHL games, former teammate of mine. I'm sure he took a couple cross checks from Old Man River over here. Who was your favorite coach that you played for when you played?
Well, I don't know. In NHL, I think the best relationship I would have was a very short time that Brett Shaw became the head coach interim coach of the New York Islanders in one season. I think, you know, Brad was really guy who trusted his players, and you know, I really enjoy playing under him. And he was also part of our World Cup as assistant of Ralph Kruger. So I would say, you know, that Bradshaw was my probably guy who I would have a best relationship with in during my NHL times.
I was telling Petey before the show, when we were going to have you on, we were talking about Miro Chatan, and the first thing that popped up to my mind, and it had nothing to do with the NHL. I don't know if you remember your time in
Cape Breton.
Do you remember playing for the Cape Breton Oilers in the American Hockey League?
Yes, of course I remember.
I remember I played for the Fredericton, New Brunswick. It was Montreal's farm team. And I remember going into Cape Breton, and I kept on hearing about this young player that was absolutely ripping up the American Hockey League. And our coach told us, we've got to shut this kid down. We've got to stop him. This is the guy we need to key on. And at the end of the night, I think that we lost. Well, we definitely lost. And you had a hat trick. So I'm not sure if we did a great job shutting you down.
Miro, do you remember Riv from the NHL?
Yes, of course I do. Like you said, he gave me probably a couple cross checks in the corner, so a few times.
Yeah, like what was it? like a guy like that to play against, eh? Like he had to go super hard all the time. That was, of course. That was Riv's only style of play.
What was your favorite spot?
What are you saying about sorry, guys, I didn't hear.
I was just going to ask where, you know, you played in a few different spots in the National Hockey League, Edmonton, Sabres, Islanders, Pittsburgh, Boston. Was there one spot in particular that you really enjoyed?
Well, I enjoyed everywhere I played, but obviously, you know, my best years were in Buffalo. So I was enjoying it there. I think I had the most success other than winning cup with Pittsburgh. You know, like I really enjoyed it there, and I really never wanted to leave from Buffalo, but it just you know, circumstances, you know, were different, you know, after lockout, so I had to leave. And you know, there were other teams that I also enjoy, like I had good time also in Long Island, but Buffalo probably, that was my longest time in NHL, and you know, I really enjoyed it there.
Yeah, that's right. You won that cup. You were in Pittsburgh in 08-09, Miro. What'd you do with your cup the day of the cup?
Well, I had it about 2 days in Slovakia, and you know, it's always celebration here when the cup comes here into small country like Slovakia. So I had it everywhere. You know, we had two different parties with it, and showed it to my old teammates. You know, so that was fun time when the cup was here. So.
What did you learn moving from team to team? Like when you left Edmonton, came to Buffalo, or you know, then leaving Buffalo, going to the Islanders, to eventually winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, like, how hard is it? Or, I mean, like, what changed with you as you moved on and ended up, you know, toward the end of your career winning a cup?
Well, you know, when you change your teams, you know, you realize, like, what things are the same, you know, like, pretty much, you know, video meetings, strategies, you know, that's all the same, practicing and traveling, it's pretty much the same, but what's different is, you know, the human aspect, you know, like how your teammates are, how your coaches are, and those little things, how people treat each other, and how hard they play, how hard they try, how they go every night for each other, and how they deal with crisis, because you have crisis with, you know, every team for a while usually, and when times are good, you don't realize who is who, and then when times are bad, usually the personalities come out, and you learn a lot of stuff that way, you know, during those times when the team has to deal with the crisis as a group.
Yeah, I think that's probably safe to say, right? When you're losing and all the tough times, Do you think a cup changes the way you viewed your career? I mean, you had a great career, but would it have felt different leaving the game or the NHL with or without a Stanley Cup? I mean, do you feel more fulfilled?
I think I am. I think, you know, every kid coming to the NHL, and it doesn't matter whether he comes from Canadian juniors or whether he comes from Europe somewhere or Sweden or a country like Slovakia, I think everybody goes into pro hockey and wants to win it one time, you know what it means, hold it in over your head, you know, one time. And, you know, obviously for me, after 99 in Buffalo, when we went all the way to the finals and lost with the, you know, no goal controversy, it's been 10 years for me to wait to be in another finals, and then winning it, you know, it definitely felt very, very satisfying. And actually, right after I won that cup, I felt like, I'm done. You know, I had not much motivation to play anymore in NHL, and I felt like after, you know, I won cup, you know, I went back basically to Europe. I played 3-4 more years, just you know, enjoy ending of my career, and then you know. But for NHL, I felt right after that there was something that I wanted to accomplish, and basically it effectively ended my career. Although after that I played like half a season in Boston, but that was for different reasons. That was just because there was 2010 Olympics in Vancouver, and I just wanted to be ready for the Olympics. So I spent half a season in Boston, but that was it for me basically.
And then you went and you played a few years, as you mentioned. What was, like, we're talking with Miro Shetan, former Buffalo Sabre, Stanley Cup champion, something we didn't mention, general manager of the Slovakian national team, general manager of Team Europe at the 2016 World Cup of Hockey. What was leaving the game for you like? Were you excited to be able to retire from just playing all together? Forget about just the NHL, but over in the KHL. You know, was it easy? A lot of guys, you know, this is a question that we'll often ask former players that we don't get to talk to all the time. You know, what was retirement like for a guy that plays, you know, almost 1,100 games and you know, wins a Stanley Cup?
Well, I was kind of ready for it for a few years. And like I told you, after winning Stanley Cup, I was ready to retire, but I said I'm going to prolong it a little bit in Europe. And, you know, we had new setup in Bratislava when we went to play KHL. And for, I was part of it, being first year, you know, having the team in Bratislava. And I became the leader of the team, and I wanted to kind of give back to, you know, to my younger Slovak teammates and help the whole organization to establish themselves in KHL. So I spent, you know, probably three seasons there, and I enjoyed it. It was different type of hockey, different, you know, atmosphere, and, you know, it was kind of sweet ending playing home in front of the fans that basically cheer for you your whole career. And they were not able to, all of them, to see you and watch you, but now I was basically playing 1 hour from home and enjoying it.
Well, Miro Shetan, kind enough to join us today from the World Championships. Before I let you go, there's one more memory that I had. We only played together for 1 year, and I, you know, like, I had a lot of fun playing with you, but there's one moment that I remember so well in my mind, and it was a beautiful, beautiful goal right before the trade deadline in Toronto, hockey night in Canada. You took your glove off, you put the telephone up to your ear, and you're like, call my agent. Is that what you were thinking? What's going, you're retired now, you've won a cup, you're out of the league. What was going through your mind at that exact moment when you put that puck in the net? Like, are you thinking, because there were a lot of rumors about you being traded.
Yes, and that was the truth. I never talk about it, you know. I wanted to, you know, kind of protect the team from the controversy, and I'd rather took it on myself than having the controversy in a paper during those times. But the truth was that I've been told by Darcy Regier that, you know, play well because we're going to trade you in 3 days, or, you know, like three games you have, you know, play as best as you can, you're going to be traded. And this was kind of the third game, the last game before deadline. And I got penalty, and then I came on the ice. I got pass, and I got breakaway all alone on Eddie Belfour. And I kind of did the Forsberg move with one-hand finish. And I just, I was kind of like whole week I was upset that I'm going to be traded. I wanted to stay in Buffalo. And I knew I'm getting traded, and I knew this is probably it. This is my last game, and it just popped in my mind because I was kind of waiting a whole week for that phone call from Darcy, and it never came. That in this moment after I scored that goal, it just came to my mind, and I just did this. I was not prepared to do it, but it was just something that just happened, and I was surprised myself after that by that, but. It's kind of like a reaction like that, and that's what I did. And there was a lot of talk about it afterwards. But then Darcy didn't trade me, and I had to stay for another 12 games.
Sick goal, though, Miro. That one kept you around, eh?
Yeah, that was the freakiest part. But then they called me in a room, and like I guess they didn't know what are we gonna do? How are we gonna finish the whole season? But I was. Like I said, I was protecting the team. I didn't want to make any controversy. I just told them, don't worry about anything. I just play for boys in the room.
I don't want to draw any attention to this, but I'm just going to score a great goal and then put the phone to my ear and get everybody talking.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. Miro, that was amazing. It was great.
Well, and, it was just...
What? Yeah. What's that?
It was just part of frustration and, I was basically... I knew I was leaving from Buffalo at that time, so...
You loved playing here?
I did love playing there, and things didn't work out as maybe management planned or I planned, but sometimes it's life, and it's business side of the game is sometimes making decisions is hard for sometimes for GM, sometimes for players, but there was something that had to be done. Then I had to change things, but I don't look at it negatively because it brought me changing the team. Basically, that brought me to Stanley Cup later on in my career. So it was it was kind of good for me.
Yeah, well said, Miro.
It's a long journey. It's a long journey when you play that long in the NHL. Yeah. You're going to have your ups and downs, and you're going to go through see different teams, and it's long and enjoyable.
Thanks for your time, Miro. Appreciate it very much. It's great to hear from you, and great to see you're doing very well, and we wish you continued success.
There is Miro Shetan on the Instigators earlier today. We'll take a timeout now. We'll get a little bit more into the Sabres, and I want to go over my dream scenario roster that I did on Cap Friendly one more time and just take a look at like what the cap hits are and how it would work out. Like, they can actually do a lot this offseason, and that includes... Like, they could sign Skinner plus a big free agent. So we'll go down that list, too, because Duchesne's the guy we talk about the most. But I want to go through some of the other players that might be realistic. Not Panarin, he came up earlier, but some other guys that they could take a run at. It's the Nightcap with Jody Biasi here on WGR.
We just relied too much on Jeff, Jack, and Sam for scoring this year. We have to look to bring in more talent from that end, and then we also have to continue to develop our own talent, whether it's Casey Mittelstadt, whether it's bringing up Olofsson or a Nylander, Tage Thompson taking a step in his development. It's a Connor Sherry who we think there's more offense that he can provide there.
There is Jason Botterill. So that's from last week. Interesting there. I'm going to play that again. And if you were going to read, just go into it. Trying to read into it too much, because I did that and it made sense to me that in his words, Botterill's mind, he's going to add some talent that'll be free agent or trade, but the guys that are here, Mittelstadt here, we know that, Nylander, Olofsson, he mentions, and guys that will come up, and Thompson, he says a guy he wants to take another step in his development. So I wonder if Olofsson and Nylander are here to start the year, and maybe Thompson starts next year in Rochester. Here's Botterill again.
We just relied too much on Jeff, Jack, and Sam for scoring this year. We have to look to bring in more talent from that end, and then we also have to continue to develop our own talent, whether it's Casey Mittelstadt, whether it's bringing up Olofsson or a Nylander, you know, Tage Thompson taking a step in his development. It's a Connor Sheary who we think there's more offense that he can provide there.
Maybe I am reading too much into that. Thompson was already here last year and then just spent a little bit in Rochester at the end, but I don't know. I think those three, I'm not sure all three, I don't think all three will be on the team next year. I think Olofsson is ahead of both of those two, which is amazing considering the other two were first-round picks, and Olofsson was a seventh-round pick. And that Olofsson got his NHL opportunity third of the three. But he looked really good. I thought he showed a lot playing with Eichel at the end of last year, Eichel and Reinhardt. And, I don't know, Nylander, I think he's had one good game up here in the NHL. And he's played a handful now. Like, he's played over a dozen games. And Thompson really only showed in, like, one or two games this year where he really stood out to me. So I'm intrigued by those guys, that they can become anything. But Nylander especially, like, I'm ready to move on from that, throw him into a trade. When I did my armchair GM earlier in the night, so you can find that at Twitter, at SneakyJoeWGR. It's retweeted on the WGR account. I actually threw in Nylander into the Kessel trade. So it was Nylander and Ristolainen for Kessel. I'm assuming that might not be enough to get it done, but because Ristolainen's 7 years younger, I thought maybe it would, so I just set it there for now. They're, and Bottrell mentions they're like adding talent. I like the sound of that. I like that he knows that he can't just wait around, sit on his hands, and wait for Casey Mittelstadt to become a 60-point player. And wait for Tage Thompson to become a 50-point player or a 20-goal scorer. Or wait for Nylander to give you anything in the NHL. I like that he knows he can't sit there and wait for all that to happen. Because, I mean, Mittelstadt, I think we could still guess, or it's safe to assume, that he's going to be at least a pretty good player in the league, if not a really good player. But the other two, the jury is definitely still out on them. And They're getting close to a verdict, I think, on Alex Nylander. I'm not expecting much of anything from him at this point. That would just be a bonus. There's another site. So Sean Tierney at Charting Hockey on Twitter, he has a lineup creator tool. It lets you evaluate your own lineup and like what type of team, how good a team that is. And he's pretty good at that stuff. He's an analytical guy. He's on the money with his projections a lot. And so I made this dream lineup on Cap Friendly. First line is Eichel, Reinhardt, and Skinner. Like, right? Bring that back. Find a way to do it. Skinner's at $8.5 million. Second line is Duchesne, Kessel, and Olofsson. Like, Sabre fans probably love the sound of that. Third line is Mittelstadt, Thompson, Sheary. It could be pretty good. I'm a little worried about Thompson, but that could be good. Fourth line, Brian Boyle, who's a good fourth line center. Okposo, who's a good bottom six forward. R2 Ruotsalainen, who we'll see. Never seen him play before, but we'll see. Defense, pretty much the same without Risto. The goaltender's the same. Like, all right, on paper, when I'm making that, I'm like, this is a pretty good team. I bet this is like a playoff team. I would think it is. And then I go to check on that. I go to Sean Tierney's lineup evaluator tool. Like, how good is this lineup? And I put that in. And I'm going through it. I'm like, okay, Eichel, Reinhardt, Skinner, way above above replacement. And Duchesne, Olofsson, Kessel, like a really good score too for a line. Then I get further down. It's like, okay, Mittelstadt, Posto, Sheary. And they didn't do so hot on that rating. Boyle, Thompson, Wilson, because they don't have Roots line in there, so I had to put Scott Wilson in there. Brutal. 4 points under replacement somehow. I think a lot of that's Thompson and how he played last year. So brutal there. The defense is just about average on that score. The goaltending, same thing. And I'm like, all right, maybe this team isn't as good as I thought. And then I see the approximate standing points for that lineup that I just read. 73 points. 73 points. So don't make me GM, because the team I would have built looks like it would have been just about as good as they've had in the past couple years. 73 points. And that's with adding Kessel and Duchesne and keeping Skinner. You know what I should have done? Is done a worst case scenario too. Maybe I'll do that and see where that team comes out. Because if this team is a 73 point team with Kessel and Duchesne on it, I have to imagine that you lose Skinner. You don't land Duchesne. You're not able to make a trade for Kessel. What does your team look like? And how good are they? Did you even get a Kevin Hayes or who's the guy from San Jose everyone's talking about? Donskoy? Like, is that, are we talking about second-rate free agents, third-rate free agents? Because I do want them to do that too. I think a lot of us do. If they don't land a big fish, a Duchesne or, you know, Carlson's name comes up a lot around other teams, I'd like them to go all out for him. I don't think they're going to, but I'd love to see that. The second-tier guys are pretty good too. Like, this is a good free agent class. You've got a couple of the Islanders guys, three top six forwards from the Islanders, who were not a super sexy team. Like, they weren't that offensive. But Brock Nelson had 53 points and 25 goals. He's a free agent. He's 27. I could sign up for that. Anders Lee is a little older, 29, 51 points, 28 goals. I could sign up for that. That's a center, too. Both those guys are centers, although I think one of them plays wing because I feel like they played together. Zuccarello, he's a little older, but he's a good player. Almost a point a game last year. Jordan Eberle had a down year this season, but he still had 19 goals. He's still pretty good. Like, I am ready to even go for those second-tier guys if they don't land a top guy, and that includes the defense. Tyler Myers, I'd bring him back. I don't think it's going to happen. Jake Gardner might be a little too expensive for my taste, but him. I'm ready for them to add some stuff. I'm ready for them to add some stuff. I'm going to do that. We'll take a break here. It's time to take a break anyway. And we'll come back with last call next. I'm going to do a worst-case scenario lineup creator and see how bad it could possibly be. No Skinner, no Duchesne, no Kessel. Maybe Sobotka's still here. We'll find out. Stay tuned for that. 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation before we get out of here in about 15 minutes. The Nightcap with Jody Biasi here on WGR.
We went through the coaching search here. Sometimes people get a little impatient. Well, we wanted to make sure we went through the process correctly. I think what's going on with Jeff and ourselves right now is, look, there was never going to be an extension announced before the coach was hired. The coach is now hired. We'll continue our discussions there and get the chance to sit down with Jeff and go over things on how we see him fitting in and how Ralph is going to coach this team and sort of how he's going to interact with his players and his structure moving forward there. And then, hey, we'll hopefully find a way to get a deal done and stuff. But from our standpoint, our discussions with both Jeff and Newport Sports have been extremely positive.
I hope so. There has not been much to cheer about here, and that building has not been louder in a decade since Jeff Skinner scored that overtime goal against San Jose. I have to go back and watch that just to feel what the arena was like. 10-game win streak, and that guy was just showed up and was leading the league in goals outside of Alex Ovechkin, and what do you do if you don't sign him? It better be a guy like Duchesne, who, to me, like, I don't know. I know it's a bigger need, second-line center, but we've been waiting Jack Eichel's entire career to have, like, that guy you can just stick right in with him, and you can expect, hey, that line is going to just go and give him, like, a premier winger other than Reinhardt. Reinhardt has given him that and took a big step, I thought, last season. I was not a Sam Reinhardt fan at all before this last season. And I thought he was a one-dimensional offensive player, a guy who would sit in front of the net, he would deflect the puck, he was really good around the net, but he was no threat to you outside of the faceoff circles. And that definitely changed this past year. Not only was he a threat to shoot it outside the faceoff circle, but he got a lot more confident carrying the puck. It looked like he was faster. Maybe it just looked like he was faster because he was carrying it more, but he looked good at it. Like, zone entries was not his forte early in his career, and he was good last year. So, anyways, that's beside the point anyway. But Reinhardt, good. Skinner became Eichel's guy, and they've been looking for that. No more Benoit Pouliot on his wing. I think I did the math, or I went to an analytics site before this past season, that Benoit Pouliot and Zemgus Girgensons, or was it Girgensons and Pominville? Like, some combination of those three was Eichel's most common line mates. And I don't want to see us go back to that. I don't want to see us go back to, hey, we got this spare part $1 million player, and he's had some good success in his career way before, so we're going to see if he can rekindle that with Jack Eichel. Now, just stick this 40-goal score on him with him. Find a way to get that done. I really hope that happens, and I know we all do. So I went on the lineup creator. on Sean Tierney's site, and I tried to make the worst lineup possible for the Sabres. Not even the worst lineup possible, because I could have just done a team of Vladimir Sobotka's, and I'm sure that would have been like a 10-point team. But I went through and basically made no changes. Like, if nothing were to happen, Skinner walks, you don't get a Kessel, you don't sign a Duchesne, you don't even do anything major in free agency. What does it look like? What happens if you just go in? This is not going to happen, but what happens if you just go in to the season with what they got right now? Eichel, Reinhardt, Olofsson, line one. All right, good. Sherry, Mittelstadt, Thompson, I guess I had to put for line two. Third line, Rodriguez, Nylander, Wilson, Sobotka, Poso, Girgensons. Like, I don't know what else I was supposed to do there. And it's just bad. It's bad. 60 points. 60 points, which is about as bad as they were in the tank year. So if they want to go for the next Hughes, I think there's another Hughes next year. I'm not 100% on that, but I'm pretty sure. But I just don't want to be talking about that anymore because we have done more than enough of it. All right, that is going to do it for me tonight. So thanks, everybody, for listening. A lot of good conversation on the Sabres and the Bills, too. We had some Latulele stuff in there. I'm going to have a piece out on our website about that probably in the next day or so. Podcast update quickly. We had some mic issues. I had to get some new ones because we're recording at my podcast studio at my place. So that's going to be coming to you soon this week. So stay tuned for that. I know it's been a couple weeks since I announced it, but we're going to be bringing you some stuff this week. So stay tuned for that. I'll be back tomorrow. So everybody have a good night. Thanks for listening. Catch the whole show on demand at WGR550.com. Later.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.